Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio SmackDown Review. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing this week's episode of SmackDown at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can hit us up in the chat room and we can take your questions, comments, and opinions there as well. And before we get down to the SmackDown review, which I have some harsh words for some of it, we do want to hit up on a couple of news items that happened during the course of the last few days. One of them being that Ric Flair has announced he is suing the WWE and that his daughter Charlotte is very upset at him for suing the WWE. But he nonetheless is going to do it because he feels that the phrase, the man, that Becky Lynch is currently using belongs to him. And apparently he contacted Vince McMahon or Triple H or their lawyers and said he wants some remuneration for it. If you're going to use it, fine. I'm not against you using it, but I would like some money for it. Because he feels he has copywritten the phrase, to be the man, you have to beat the man. Which is not the same thing as the man. By proxy, Ric Flair called himself the man, but he never got on the microphone and said, I am the man. He just said, to be the man, you got to beat the man. But Ric Flair feels that the phrase the man belongs to him, and that if WWE is going to use it, they need to compensate him for that. Very unusual. My opinion on this is as follows. You cannot possibly hope to copyright a phrase such as to be the man, you have to beat the man, and say I own every word in it. So then you don't, because Shakespeare said to be or not to be. So what's the to be? Shakespeare has that, right? So you can't use that. See, that's how that works. They're just using the man. They're not using to be the man, you got to beat the man. So truthfully, I don't see Ric Flair winning this. Now, will the WWE maybe try amicably to come to some, you know, hopefully come to some agreement with Ric so they can avoid nonsense? Maybe. I mean, what's WWE got to lose by just saying, you know what, we're not going to fight it. If you want a little money, here's a little money. Maybe they'll do that. But again, let me just reiterate, when you copyright something, you don't own every word in it. You own it precisely as it is written. Once again, you can't cherry pick and say, well, two words in that is being used. So what? Ric Flair's copyright exists, as I know it, on the phrase, to be the man, you have to beat the man. So again, should Shakespeare's, you know, whoever owns the rights to the Shakespeare stuff, should they say, well, you used to be. That was Shakespeare's. We copywrote that. You can't do that. Now, Rick is saying just strictly for wrestling purposes, I copywrote that. But unless he has a copyright saying the man, separate copyright, I have a copyright against anyone ever calling themselves the man. I don't know how you're going to do that. And if he does, and if he did manage to do it, let me ask you this. Do you think this is the wisest thing to do with your daughter in a federation? Because I don't. Todd, very unusual.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's weird right there. It's a public domain. It's a public domain name. Anybody could use that. You can't sue somebody for just using the man. If it was be the man, you got to beat the man. You could sue that person for using that phrase, but regular just called the man, you can't sue that. Can't sue somebody for
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's public domain. I guess maybe you could file some sort of limited copyright for a limited use on it, but I don't know as Ric Flair has. And even if he did, again, is that the wisest choice? I don't think so. Very, very unusual thing for Ric Flair to do, in my opinion. Very unusual. And very counterproductive. I mean, because if the WWE really wants to play hardball, they could take it out on his daughter if they wanted to. They could say, okay, well, you know, your dad wants to sue us, wants to do whatever, then you're just going on a one-woman losing streak. They could do that, and they're vindictive enough to do that, so don't put it past them. And the second piece of news is that apparently Vince McMahon may listen to this show or get some words of advice from people who do, because much like we said a couple of weeks ago, Vince McMahon now has indeed fired or replaced a good amount of the writers on SmackDown and even on Raw. He's kind of put Raw writers on SmackDown and took SmackDown writers and reassigned them to something else. But what he's actually done is he's taken our advice. If you're going to rewrite the script every week anyway and have to tear it up and say, oh, this is no good, why are they still employed? So he's finally taken that under advisement, apparently, and said, yeah, I'm not going to rewrite the script every week and I don't like it. So he's hired new people. So let's see where this goes. Very interesting. Anyway, let's get down to SmackDown, because I just the very first time I saw Bayley's heel turn on Raw, I said, this is a mistake. I don't care if the fans are chanting yes, 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 it's a mistake. Because the real money is in Bayley versus Sasha. And you've kind of thrown that out the window now, haven't you? So on Raw, I did not care for it because I thought, okay, well, this is a surprise. It's a swerve. But at the same time, it's a swerve that's not going to lead to much. And she's already facing Charlotte at Clash of Champions. And the last I checked, Charlotte was a heel. So I guess the WWE between Monday and Tuesday figured that out and said, well, now we kind of got a problem, don't we? Who are the fans going to cheer for? So they had Bayley come out to start this show and basically cut a face promo. I was so confused. I'm sitting there going, what happened? I was expecting a totally different entrance. I was kind of even maybe expecting different music. I was expecting to see a different Bayley repackaged. What we got was the same old Bayley, and her explanation was, well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about loyalty. And Sasha's my friend, and I'm loyal to my friend, and I'm trying as hard as I can for all the people out there to show them that loyalty matters. And the minute this happened, the first thing that went through my mind was they figured it out that the money is in Bayley versus Sasha, and they said, we might have blown that. How do we backpedal? And the answer for the backpedaling is, will still make Bayley a sympathetic character. She's willing to do these things only for Sasha because she's such a great friend of Sasha's. She's even willing to beat Becky Lynch with a chair who really didn't do anything to her just because she's loyal to Sasha Banks. And Sasha will eventually stab her in the back. Bayley will realize the error of her ways and we'll have our match. That's kind of what they're doing. Now, this is the problem with the WWE. They half-ass everything. I was against Bayley turning heel, but if you're going to do it, do it. Don't do it and then rethink it and say, let's hedge our bets. I don't know. What do you think? Maybe we jump the gun. No, just do it. Have her come out and really cut a lacy-filled promo on the fans. Look, I kissed ass for I don't know how long. I hugged all you people. Where did that get me? It got me a belt after I decided to change my attitude a little bit, but up to that point, it was getting me nothing. Sasha's right. We were in communication while she was gone, and the thing she was telling me is true. Sasha knew I wasn't leaving. She knew I was holding the fort down here. And our ultimate goal is we're both going to be the champions. That would have worked. But instead, you got an apologetic Bailey, really, to say, well, you have to understand, this is my friend. Wouldn't you do the same for your friend? This is my best friend. And loyalty matters. Okay, well, I just don't get it, I guess. And this is one of the main problems with WWE writers is they just won't pull the trigger. They will half-ass something and say, it's almost like walking on a minefield. Let's do this, but carefully. And no, forget it. Pull back a little. You can't. You either got to pull the trigger or put the gun away. It's just as simple as that. Pull the damn trigger or put the gun away because this half-ass crap isn't working. And now you've got Bailey caught in this position where we don't even know. Is she a heel? Is she a face? Does it depend on your perspective? What about Charlotte Flair, who just got the beat down? The fans were cheering that. Where are we at? What's going on? And this also hurts Sasha, who was getting roundly booed. And I'd said, well, at least they're going to do the right thing with Sasha. They're going to make her a really arrogant bitch who deserves to be booed. And now they've aligned her with Bailey, who fans are kind of liking. So now they're like, now we kind of like the Bailey Sasha connection again. Well, then that hurts Sasha. So congratulations, you managed to muck up this entire thing. You've mucked the whole damn thing up. It's almost unbelievable. We've equated this time and time again to slow pitch softball, underhand softball, where they just lob in a pitch and you foul it off. And that's what the WWE does on a regular basis. I have no idea why you ever pulled the trigger on Bailey turning heel if you didn't want her heel. If that's all you wanted to do, see, here's the problem. It wasn't that Bailey came to the rescue of Sasha, who was being beaten by Becky Lynch. Had that happened, had Becky Lynch picked up that chair and start to wailing on Sasha, and Bailey did what she did, then you could legitimately say, well, that's my best friend. I'm not going to sit there and watch her be beaten by a chair. Okay. But Becky Lynch was down and out. She wasn't getting up. She wasn't fighting back. So Bailey beating her with a chair did not in any way help Sasha. So if you were going to do that, Bailey should have looked very disappointed at Sasha, but handed her back the chair and just walked away. Pull the chair out from under her. Try to reason with her. When Sasha says this, that, or the other thing, just look disappointed, hand the chair back, and walk away. Like, I don't want any part of it, but if that's your scene, go ahead. Then she legitimately could have said, that's my best friend. I was looking out for her, but she did what she wanted to do. And whether I agree with it or not, I support what my friend wants to do. That makes sense. It doesn't make sense to beat a defenseless woman with a chair and then say I was coming to the aid of my friend. She didn't need any aid. So that's dumb. And I don't even believe that was the ultimate plan. I think the ultimate plan was turn Bailey heel. When they heard how loud the crowd was cheering, they said, oh, wait a minute, hold the phone. And then also, wait, maybe we can get a Bailey and Sasha thing going, which I don't know how they couldn't have thought of that ahead of time. Maybe we better hedge our bets and still make Bailey kind of lovable. She's this girl who will do anything, even if it's wrong, for her friend. That's what they're making Bailey now. She's not a heel. She is a complete sheep. My friend wants to rob a bank, and I know it's wrong, but that's my friend. So I guess I'll drive the getaway car. Come on. That's awful. And it's confusing. and it's muddled, and it doesn't help Charlotte Flair, and it doesn't help Sasha Banks, and it certainly doesn't help Bayley. So I don't know where they're going with this, Mike, but this was terrible.
It was terrible. And not only that, you go back and you watch that beatdown and look at the look on her face, on Bayley's face, you know, the little details, like the look on her face. I mean, it was like that kind of that shit-eating grin, but again, she hesitated, you know. It would have been fine if she wouldn't have hesitated and waiting that, 25, 30 seconds before she started wailing on Becky Lynch, you know?
Yeah. It just, the whole concept doesn't make any sense because, again, if your argument is, I support my friend, and my friend was in trouble, so I helped. Well, your friend wasn't in trouble. That would be like saying, my friend was in a fight, and she was getting the hell kicked out of her, and it looked like she was going to get seriously injured. So even though I don't have a beef with that other person, yeah, I did what I did because that's my friend. Everybody could relate to that. If the story you want to tell is Sasha's leading Bayley down a bad road and Bayley is following her because she loves her as a friend, then you had to have Becky Lynch on top of Sasha. Even if Sasha was getting the better of Becky to begin with, even if Sasha was the one who came in, got her disqualified, start beating her with a chair, Becky Lynch then should have fought back, and it should have been Bayley who's sitting there saying, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, and then ends up wailing on Becky Lynch with a chair. Because then it makes sense. So if that's the story you're trying to tell, that's the way that skit should have went down Monday night. If the story you're trying to tell is Bayley's had enough of being a good guy, and she now sees how Sasha's doing, and she wants to be like that, then she has to come out Tuesday night with no apologies and say, I don't need to make any apologies. I'm not in here to, play second fiddle to Becky Lynch. That's all. Then you're telling that story. But the WWE doesn't know what story they're telling. One night they're telling Bayley's had enough. Bayley's now a heel. The next night they're telling Bayley is a sheep and she's following her friend and her friend's leading her down a bad road. Well, that's two very different stories. And if that's the story you originally were going to tell, you blew it Monday night. And if the story you're originally going to tell is Bayley's had enough, you blew it Tuesday night. So either way, you blew it because you don't have your story together. Decide what you're going to do before you do it. Is she going to come out being a sarcastic heel who says, no more hugs, no more nonsense? I was one of you fans. And you know what? That was my problem. I finally woke up and realized I can't be a fan. Because the way you fans are, all you do is hold people back. Then she's a heel. Or she comes out and says, I didn't want to hit Becky Lynch. I have nothing against Becky Lynch. But my friend was in trouble, and I'm not going to see my friend hurt. What would you have done? If that was your friend. And then people would have said, okay, well, Bayley's still a good guy. She's just under Sasha's spell. Those are two very different stories. And Mike, you got to decide which one you're going to tell.
Right. You can't give us both and don't commit to one, you know. Show some commitment here.
I agree. There's zero commitment to their stories. Their stories are all over the place. They're all over the place. It's absolutely horrible. I just don't get it. I really don't. And they do it almost constantly, Todd.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's they should turn Bayley heel. She shouldn't hesitate on Monday night when they hit Becky Lynch with a chair. Just hit her with a chair.
The story you're going to tell, absolutely. If you came to me and said, we want to make Bayley look as though Sasha's leading her down a bad path. Sasha's back now, and Bayley feels a loyalty to Sasha, and Sasha knows that Bayley feels that loyalty, and she's going to take full advantage of it. And we're eventually going to get to the point where Bailey's going to hit her breaking point and say, no, you're not a good person. I was wrong to support you. I was wrong to think you were really my friend. Great. Good story. Then what has to happen is either Becky Lynch has to be on top of Sasha at the moment that Bailey sees what's going on, or Bailey has to take the chair away from Sasha. Sasha say a few things to Bailey, and Bailey reluctantly hand her back the chair and walk away like it's your business. Do what you want. That's the only two options. For her to wail on a defenseless woman and then say my friend was in trouble, that's dumb. Again, if the story you're going to tell is that Bailey's had enough and she wants to be like Sasha, then there's no reason for what you did Tuesday night. Tuesday night, then she has to get in the ring and read the fans a riot act. Neither happened because the WWE has no clue what they want to do with her. So it's just going to destroy this. Anyway, we get the first King of the Ring match up, and it's Elias versus Ali. And I got to tell you, I was almost positive Ali would go on in this tournament. I am so shocked that they didn't have Kevin Owens there to do something to Elias and cause him not to win, but they didn't. Elias wins. I have to tell you that there's very few good choices in this King of the Ring tournament that I'm actually sitting here saying, oh boy, this will be great if they're the king. King Elias doesn't work. What, are you going to change his gimmick from he's a minstrel to he's a king? That's just not going to work in anybody's world. That's not going to work. The match was okay. They can't decide whether they want Ali to be a top guy, a mid-carder, or a complete jabron. It depends on, again, it depends on what night you tune in. Ali is a world beater 1 week. Oh my God, look who he's beating, Daniel Bryan. And then the next week, he can't beat Elias. I don't know. That, again, that's another part of the problem with the WWE. They have no clue. 1 week, they are fully behind this guy. The next week, they're like, no, he's going to drop. Then next week, they're like, I don't know, let's get behind him again. And there's no momentum ever being built up, Mike, because they don't make it logical. It's all over the place. Over the place.
Right. And this is one of a lot of reasons probably why somebody like, I don't know, Almas has been saying for a long time that he's telling his friends not to come here because he's afraid that they're going to do to them what they did to him. And he's another one of these guys that doesn't know where he's going to be, you know, is Almas. You know, yeah, they'll push him for a couple of weeks here and there, but then he'll lose several in a row. So it's not just Ali that they do this to.
No, Mike, it's not. That's what I'm saying. It's everybody. They can't figure it out except for a very select few people. That's the way the WWE works. We're behind you this week. Not so much next week. So Elias moves on. I used to be a pretty big fan of Elias because I really enjoyed the stuff he did prior to his matches, the little tunes and things. And I thought, you really have something with this guy, and I think they did. Fans were chanting Walk with Elias. My God, the UK, they were just singing it for endless minutes. They flipped him face for 2 weeks and said, we made a mistake, back to heel. You don't commit to anything. That's the problem. It's like somebody who starts a diet and then 2 weeks later they say, nah, hot dogs, pizza. And then 2 weeks later, I'm back on my diet. Well, you're never going to get anywhere that way. You're just treading water. Well, that's the same way with the WWE. They just tread water. Let's commit to Elias being a face. Okay. Oh, well, it didn't work out because you gave him lousy opponents and no real storyline. Back to being a heel. You never fleshed out any of the possibilities. It's a shame. And Mike's right. They do it with a lot of people. So I don't know about a King Elias reign, Todd. I don't think that would be the right choice.
No, I don't think it would be a right thing to do, have King Elias. I think WWE should, I think that was big, if he wins the King of the Ring, that'd be a big mistake right there on the WWE's part, on the writers and Vince McMahon as well.
Yeah, so do I, because he already has a gimmick. You know what I mean? He has a good enough gimmick. So there's no real reason, I can think of any anyway, to put that on Elias. We then get the Women's Tag Team Champions, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, against Fire and Desire. And, you know, lo and behold, Fire and Desire win, because of course they do. Clash of Champions is coming up, and they said every single belt has to be defended. And there's no one to fight Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. No one. So Fire and Desire is thrown in there, and of course they have to win, because otherwise who fights them? So again, this is just a waste of time. Everybody knew what was going on with this. It doesn't add to the momentum. It doesn't make us think, oh my God, we're going to have brand new tag team champions. It just makes us think, uh-oh, we forgot about the women's tag team belts, and we don't really have any contenders, so we better throw in a team and let them pin them in a non-title match. So, and again, Mike, this is what they do all the time. There's no momentum. There's no build-up. There's no storyline behind why they're the number one contenders. It's just like throw in a random person or throw in a random team. They'll win in a non-title match, and therefore they are the number one contenders. It's very disappointing.
It really is very disappointing. And the fact of the matter is that they keep, again, over and over and over and over and over again, with not just with this, with just about everything they do, you know. And we've said it before, this is the type of crap that's going to allow some people like, I don't know, AEW to come up and scoop them. Now, it may not happen right away, but they keep doing this crap, and, well, you know.
Yeah, this is what drives fans away in droves, because it's not interesting. We then get this weird thing where Samoa Joe's lurking around backstage, and, of course, the only person he runs across, he's there to scout the King of the Ring tournament. The only person he runs across is Chad Gable. Here's how illogical this is. Now, I'm not saying Joe didn't do a good job. I think Joe did a really good job when he told him he was too small. Except here's the problem. Chad Gable and Samoa Joe are approximately exactly the same height. Maybe Joe is an inch taller. They're standing right next to each other. Joe's maybe an inch taller. So it's not like Cass telling Daniel Bryan he's short. So that was kind of dumb. But I think it was kind of good for him to say, you know, when you hear that stuff, it still bothers you, and that means you're weak. And you can't have a weak person be King of the Ring. That was okay. Here's the problem. That is the exact same thing as saying, you're going to go out there and win. I knew the minute Samoa Joe did that, Andretti's dead. And we're probably going to end up with Joe versus Gable. The minute it happened, talk about just showing your cards at the table. So poor Andretti has to go out there and lose his King of the Ring tournament match because, hey, why not, right? We promoted him for a couple of weeks. He beat Rey Mysterio, the legendary Rey Mysterio, but he can't beat Chad Gable. And again, this up and down booking is what's killing the WWE because you can't get behind anybody. There's no momentum to get behind. Did they do that with Hulk Hogan? Did they do that with The Ultimate Warrior? Did they do that with The Undertaker? Did they do that with Stone Cold Steve Austin? Did they do that with Triple H or Shawn Michaels? Did they get in the ring and I won this week, I lost this week, I won this week, I lost this week? No, they didn't. That's how they created stars. They protected them and said, these guys are getting on a major push. And you kind of knew that push was over when they lost one or two on TV, you know? Like you'd get a guy like a Waylon Mercy, and you know, oh man, he's won like 6, 8, 10 matches in a row. Some against some top guys. And then all of a sudden it's, oh, he lost that match. Oh, he lost this match. And you're like, he's done. They've given up on him. Well, in the current WWE, a loss means nothing. Maybe next week Andretti beats Roman. Who knows? It doesn't matter. And that's exactly the way they want it. Very frustrating. Very frustrating. So how are we supposed to get behind Andretti? How are we supposed to say, wow, this guy is a really tough heel, and it's going to take a damn good effort to beat him, and I wonder if he could maybe, you know, be champion, or he could beat this guy or that guy. No, we don't even care, because there's no rhyme nor reason to it. It's maybe he can, maybe he can't. Just because he lost to Chad Gable doesn't mean he won't pin Roman Reigns next week. Or just because he beat Rey Mysterio two straight falls doesn't mean he won't lose to, you know, anybody. Kurt Hawkins. Because that's just the way it is in the WWE. There's no momentum. For 80% of their people, anyway. There's no momentum. We could discuss the Randy Orton thing a little bit if you want, but the bottom line is this. When Randy Orton comes out and keeps saying Kofi Kingston is stupid, and every single time he does, Kofi runs out and gets jumped and beaten up, Kofi looks stupid. So now fans are believing Randy Orton and saying, well, how stupid can you be? Every single week he lures you out and beats you up. Every single week he lures you backstage and beats you up. Every single week you fall for the same exact trick. That's a mistake. That's a huge mistake. That's undermining Kofi Kingston. That's your champion. So I'm a little disappointed in that too, Mike, because I think they haven't thought that out well.
Really, I am too, and that's the thing. And it's kind of ruining what they had with Kofi Kingston, you know?
Yeah, it really is. You can't make your champion. Okay, Kofi can fall for it once, maybe twice. Not three and four times. Not three and four times. Because then he does look stupid. My God, haven't you figured out by now that Randy Orton's going to lure you out and the Revival's going to jump you? How many times has that happened? Not even going to go through the 24/7 thing. It was just ridiculous. Bo Dallas won. And then, of course, Drake Maverick won it back. And then R-Truth won. It was just... I'm so sick of this. I'm not even going to discuss it. Aleister Black finally comes out of the hiding. I guess he got tired of people waiting for him to knock on his door. And he beats Shelton Benjamin in pretty quick fashion. So I don't know what Shelton Benjamin's big stand there and shift your eyeballs left, right, up, down for 4 minutes push was. I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was. Nothing, I guess. Just an idea. Let's throw out an idea, and if it doesn't work, it's dead end. No big deal. Sheldon, stand in front of the camera, and when you ask a question, just shift your eyeballs around and up and down, and we'll decide what that means later, if it means anything. It's just a thought. Yeah, we don't like it. Never mind. Just go out there and drop to Aleister in 2 minutes. An Aleister Black Shelton Benjamin match could have been something. Really could be. This was nothing because they don't care. Quite frankly, they don't care. Chad Gable, of course, we already said he beat Andrade. I don't know what to say about that. So what are we left with? We're left with Shinsuke Nakamura beat some local competitor. That's fine, whatever, on his way to defending the belt against The Miz, and we then get to the Daniel Bryan situation with Roman Reigns. And if this isn't the most convoluted mess that the WWE's ever come up with, let's just backlog for a minute. Daniel Bryan says, I will make a major announcement that will affect not only my career, but the entire WWE later on tonight. He makes no such announcement. He says nothing. He comes out, says nothing. Next week, same thing. Tonight, you're going to hear that major earth-shattering announcement that's going to affect the entire WWE and his career. He says nothing. There were reports he might go to 205 Live. There were reports he might go to NXT. There was all kinds of things that it was supposed to be. NXT was one of the top ones because, of course, we didn't know at the time, but now we know they're debuting on USA, and that would have been a big asset, but there's nothing. In the midst of this, we get the Roman Reigns attack, and we don't know who it is, and could it be Buddy Murphy? Could it be Samoa Joe? Could it be Eric Rowan? Could it be somebody that looks like Eric Rowan that we don't even know who the hell it is and still don't know who the hell it was? Daniel Bryan is beating people up saying we didn't have anything to do with it, with this look on his face like, yeah, we damn sure did, but we're going to make it look like we didn't. And then all of a sudden it's, I'm shocked and horrified to see a video that does not show Eric Rowan close up doing it, but someone who looks like him, but it could have been the guy that Daniel Bryan brought in. And he slaps Rowan about 25 times. Comes to the ring and says, I was lied to. This has nothing to do with me. He gets speared for his effort. Then he says, I still demand an apology because I was speared for no reason. Well, that's still a heel move, isn't it? Because if he was going to turn face, he would say, well, I understand why Roman Reigns did it. I wouldn't believe me either. I didn't think my best friend would lie to me. So I was defending my best friend's honor. No, I demand an apology from that man. And it leads to a Rowan beatdown. Daniel Bryan tries to save Roman Reigns. He gets his ass kicked. And I'm saying to myself, I just don't know if they're writing this week by week where they're like, what do we do this week? I don't know. I think that's what they're doing. Because if you sat down and wrote this ahead of time and said, we're going to start with this announcement that Daniel Bryan's going to make, but he's never going to make it. And then we're going to go to this and that. And that's one of the most convoluted stories I've ever heard. It goes nowhere. There's too many dead ends. That's a fourth grader writing, you know, a story for his English class. So I assume they're just writing bit by bit as they go. And now I don't even know. I mean, in my opinion, we could have a swerve where Daniel Bryan said, go ahead and put me through the table. Go ahead and beat my ass. It'll look like I have nothing to do with this. And then at Clash of Champions, we'll put the big reveal and we'll both beat down Roman Reigns. That could happen. That could absolutely happen. Because Eric Rowan on his own, I don't see this. Where's this going to go? You think Eric Rowan's beating Roman Reigns without help? I don't. So then what does that have to do with anything? We get an Eric Rowan feud, which he loses with Roman Reigns, and one which he loses with Daniel Bryan. And then what happens to Eric Rowan? I said on last week's show that I had some information that, but the WWE changed their mind so often that even if you get good information from a good source, that could change tomorrow. But from what I heard, there may be an effort to reassemble Bray Wyatt's group. They're doing nothing with Harper. And Rowan is now out of the Daniel Bryan situation, at least we think he is. And obviously with the Freak only occasionally wrestling and Bray Wyatt's character looks like they're not going to wrestle him, looks like they're just going to let him talk, it would be good if he had some friends that weren't puppets. And it would make some sense. Maybe that's where they're going with this. I don't know. The problem is, they don't know either. And I've heard people say, well, this is really the way to write. And I'll tell you why. Because the fans figure it all out. And if the writers don't even have it figured out, then the fans can't figure it out. Wrong. That's not the way to write. That's the lazy way to write. The good way to write is to sit down and say, we're going to lead the fans very subtly into believing this. But this is not where we're really going. If we drop a few hints, we do a few things, fans will say, we know where this is going, but that's not exactly where it's going. And you figure everything out ahead of time. Now, if this is Daniel Bryan's face turn, good for him. I don't know where his career is going with this. I mean, how can he go from what he just came out of to this just because Eric Rowan, for no good reason, tried to hurt Roman Reigns? How many times has Daniel Bryan tried to hurt people as a heel? It doesn't really make a huge amount of sense. So I don't know where they're going with this, Mike, but this is one convoluted story.
It really is. And you're talking about the writing and where in general they're going with not just this, but with everything else. You cannot tell me that if either Heyman or Bischoff were writing this stuff, or actually writing this stuff, that we wouldn't know where these people were going. You know, even Bischoff at his worst, you knew where things were going with him, you know.
Yeah, it seems very unlikely. Now, again, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but Vince McMahon has made a big shakeup, and he has removed some of the Raw writers and put them on SmackDown. He has reassigned some of the SmackDown writers to different roles or put them on temporary leave. Basically, he shook up the creative team. And I hear there's a major draft going to be coming, I think, in October, which will solidify SmackDown and Raw for the two different networks. So we'll see where that goes. But for right now, as we had said, if Vince McMahon is just going to tear up the script and rewrite it every week, why are these people still employed? If you had to redo your employees' work every week because they didn't do it correctly, you'd fire them. So that's a little bit bizarre. He finally got around to doing it. We'll see if it helps. But wrestling writing, folks, do not be fooled by WWE specifically, but also even other federations. Do not be fooled by the pro wrestling's powers that be that want to tell you as a fan, pro wrestling writing is extremely hard and it's an art form. And if you haven't been in the ring 37 and a half years, you have no right to bullshit. Bullshit. And I don't care who calls me up. I don't care if a Hall of Famer calls me up right now and says you're wrong. I'm standing my ground. I'm a published writer, and I can tell you right now, writing a wrestling federation's scripts is not hard. It's not hard at all. Your job is to reach those fans. Your job is to do something with a character that either makes the fans sympathetic towards your baby face or truly hates your heel. Now, sometimes you'll make a mistake. For instance, I don't know if anybody thought that Bailey pounding Becky Lynch, who's their most popular character, with a chair would cause the fans to chant yes. But when you saw that it did, instead of hedging your bets and saying, okay, we're still going to make Bailey sympathetic by saying, I was just doing it because of my friend, someone has to raise their hand and say that it doesn't make any sense because Becky Lynch was prone on the mat. She wasn't hurting her friend. So that does not make any sense. We can't say that. But that just goes to show you how they do not understand their fan base. They just don't. They just don't understand their fan base. And now what do you think is going to happen during this Bayley-Charlotte match? You're going to hear crickets because the fans are going to cheer for either one of them. Because they don't know who to cheer for. I don't know. Well, either one of them, I don't like them. Okay, well, then I don't know. Great idea. Wrestling writing's not hard. You imagine that you are a fan and you are sitting there in that arena and you imagine something that would give you goose flesh or that would cause you to jump out of your chair or that would make you go, oh, my God, any of those things. You shouldn't take it as an insult if fans are figuring you out ahead of time. You should take it as a challenge and say, let me up my game. so that I can please the fans more when they're not sure exactly where, you know, who's winning or they didn't see this coming. No, we didn't see Bayley flipping coming till that night. But it's gone nowhere. You can't just do that. You have to say, well, not only are they not going to see this coming, but this is going to lead to the following things. You have to take into consideration the snowball effect. Nobody even thought to themselves, well, how will this work? She's fighting Charlotte. Nobody even thought about that. Did they flip Charlotte a face Tuesday? No. So now we just got this mess. And I'm sure they don't even know how the Daniel Bryan thing's going to turn out. I'm sure they don't. This is not good writing. And so when bad writers tell you writing is hard, that's because you're bad at it. Because it's not that hard. You could give me a crayon and a roll of toilet paper and a half hour, and I could come up with something better than that. Because all you have to do is weigh and measure each thing. You say, Bayley's going to get in the ring. Where is Sasha going to be at the time? She's going to be there holding a chair, beating the hell out of Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch is getting up, and is she going to tackle or do it? No, Becky Lynch is going to lay there prone. Okay, then what do we want Bayley to do? Bayley's going to take the chair and start wailing on Becky Lynch. Well, if she does that, you fully have to understand that she's hitting a woman who's posing no threat. So now she is a heel. So if you're going to try to tell the story of Bayley is under Sasha's spell, that's out the window now. That's what you have to say as a writer. That's out the window now. We can't go back on that. She's got to come out Tuesday night, you know, fist flying, saying all you fans can go suck an egg. And if you don't want to go there, then don't pull the trigger on this. Let's change it. If you want her to be a sympathetic character still, let her help Sasha, who looks like Becky Lynch is recovered and got the better of Sasha. Maybe Bayley didn't see that Sasha was wailing her with a chair first because Bayley just recovered, and here she sees Becky Lynch totally wearing out Sasha with a chair. So naturally, she goes and helps Sasha. Seems a little disappointed that the crowd's kind of like yelling at her and says, I don't know why all you people are yelling at me. You know, my friend was being beaten with a chair. I helped her. Wouldn't you do that if that was your friend? Then you are telling the story that Bayley's naive and Bayley's being led astray by a much more streetwise user of a girl. That's a good story to tell. I'm great with that story, but you didn't tell it. And if that is the story, you're telling it very poorly. Or the other story is that Bayley has flipped and she's done with the fans. And then that's a good story to tell, but then you got to tell it. These writers don't know what to do. They don't know whether they're on foot or horseback. They're walking around on eggshells saying, hedge your bets on this in case something happens. He can do this, but wait, just in case something happens. I told you guys a month ago when Daniel Bryan at the pay-per-view was looking at that monitor and he saw Eric Rowan beating the hell out of Buddy Murphy, Daniel Bryan's look on his face was, why is he doing this? What's going on? I'm not sure I approve of this. I told you then, their interest is Daniel Bryan doesn't know that Rowan did this and it's going to be revealed that Rowan did it. But then they changed it and said, no, Daniel Bryan's going on tirade. He's going to beat up Buddy Murphy too. And then they said, nah, you know, let's go back to he's disappointed with Rowan. They don't even know where they're going with this. And when you have a story that just goes up and down and all around, ask anyone. Ask a high school English teacher. Hell, ask a grade school English teacher. If your story has that many convoluted, nonsensical ups and downs where you're not sure, and is that a good story? Is that a good framework for telling a story? And they're going to say, well, no, that's what amateurs do. That's what people who don't know how to write do. They lose themselves and say, well, I didn't want to do that. I'll change that. But it's too late because the reader already read it or the viewer already saw it. That should have been something you took care of before you ever put pen to paper or and published it, or you ever aired it on television. Not done. Now, there's such a thing as branches on the tree, like we said, where you say, well, we're going down this road, but if a disaster strikes and the fans don't like it, we still have an out. But you, not that kind of an out. Not that kind of an out. Not an out where you say, well, this doesn't make any sense. One minute he's, you know, doing this and the next minute he's doing that. That's why the Bailey thing would have been great if Bailey thought that Sasha needed her help. Because then you could have said, well, if we want to make Bailey a full heel, she's going to get to enjoy success. And Sasha's going to show her breaking these rules works. And Bailey's going to be a full-fledged heel. Or, if the fans aren't liking that, we can go down the road where Bailey is reluctantly following Sasha's lead, but we see she's not happy about it. And we're going to wait. The fans are going to have that moment where they say, this is the week Bailey's going to say, I've had enough. No, she still went along with Sasha. But there's going to be that straw that breaks the camel's back. That's a great story to tell, too. They've convinced everyone, Mike, that wrestling writing is hard because they're simply no damn good at it.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, it goes back to the joke that that Jeff Foxworthy told one time about the dead animal in the middle of the road. He goes, well, that animal was only partially committed, and you see where that got him. A lot of these things, and look, it's not just the writer's fault. It's Vince McMahon's fault. How can the writers write something if Vince is just going to come back behind them and redo it? You know, I mean,
agreed. Yeah.
Right now the whole thing with Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross is working. Now, will they find a way to screw that up? Probably so. But right now it's working. So, and the fans are buying it. So yeah.
Well, that's an example of that story was bad too, because there is no story. But at least it's an example of, well, we're going to feel it out. And when they felt that the fans actually liked them as a team, they said, all right, we're not going to do the thing where Nikki turns on Alexa or Alexa turns on Nikki. We're just going to leave it go for a while. That's a branch on a tree. It was still a poorly told story. But they did leave proper branches on the tree in case, you know, fan reaction was not what they considered. So that's fine. But this is not fine. These are your main storylines. We still don't have any idea what Daniel Bryan's big announcement was because it's nothing. We still don't have any idea why Shelton Benjamin rolled his eyes and was rolling his eyes for two straight weeks because it amounted to nothing. We still don't know why Chad Gable is being I'm an underdog because I'm short and I'm not really too big when he's an Olympic championship wrestler and he was already a champion, held championships in the WWE. That doesn't make any sense. And you also can't have someone who is, 3 centimeters taller than him call him short. Because that doesn't make any sense. Too much stuff doesn't make sense. I would have loved to have Samoa Joe say, you're not going to lose because you're small. Because there are people in this federation who are smaller than you that achieved a hell of a lot more. You're going to lose because you're weak. Because you let everything bother you. You can't let it go. You're mentally weak. That's why you're going to lose. That would have been great. Now, he did partially say that, but he also said you're short. When he's not much taller than him. So that was dumb. This week's entire episode was pretty much dumb. Because none of it really makes any sense. You could argue, well, they did a good job with the Daniel Bryan thing. Of course, Daniel Bryan's a professional. He did a good job. But is anybody excited about a Rowan solo career? I'm not. Is anybody excited about a Rowan versus Roman match? I'm not. I want to know what happened to Daniel Bryan's big announcement. I want to know why Daniel Bryan was... didn't dot his I's and cross his T's before he believed Rowan. You know, what's going on here? And I can only hope that we are not seeing the Bludgeon Brothers reform to take on Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, because I do not want to see that. If anything, go back to the Bray Wyatt thing and have a little flock of people in the funhouse. That'll be good. But not the Bludgeon Brothers. Not because they weren't good, but because that horse has left the barn. Move forward with some of this stuff. And by the way, Shinsuke Nakamura does not need local talent squash match. He's only going up against The Miz, who doesn't win anything anymore. That's what you do with someone who is going up against someone really, really good that you say he's not going to win. Then you see him in a couple squash matches and say, oh, maybe they're going to let him win because look how they're building him. But Shinsuke Nakamura is being is the favorite, I would say. I don't know if he's going to win, but he's the favorite. So the favorite doesn't have to go through a squash match. Just bizarre. And the way they're treating Kofi Kingston. This would have been the perfect opportunity for the New Day to beat the hell out of the Revival and Randy Orton and say, who's stupid now? Do you think we're going to fall for that every time? Instead, Randy Orton comes out and says he's stupid, and it looks like he is stupid because he does fall for it every single time. And there's not one writer who raises his hand and say, wait a minute, didn't he fall for this 2-3 weeks in a row? If he falls for it again, doesn't he look like a complete idiot? We can't have our champion look like a complete idiot, can we? Can't we rewrite this so that he, you know, turns the tables and looks a little bit like, you know, he led Randy Orton down the path for a change? It just doesn't work for me. Sorry, it doesn't. Anyway, the whole show wasn't horrible. It was just extraordinarily illogical and very poorly written. Very poorly written. You've got a King of the Ring tournament nobody's interested in, by the way. I don't care if Chad Gable wins it. What is that going to do for his career? Elias, what the hell is that going to be? Samoa Joe? You know, Ricochet? Forget it. Nobody cares anymore. You had people in there that could have worked out. McIntyre probably should have been the winner. Baron Corbin, you could bail out with Baron Corbin because you got nothing else to do with him. You may as well give it to Baron Corbin. At first, I was very, very against it. But you may as well at this point because it's the only one that's going to help. Some extraordinarily bad writing. And this is what ends up happening when you have no plan. This is what ends up happening when you start writing chapter one and you don't have a chapter two. That's the problem. Then you're just like, oops, did I say that in chapter three? Well, I'm at chapter seven, and I just forget I said that. Well, people don't forget that. That's lazy writing. That's awful writing. So for that reason, this week's show, to me, failed. Failed on a lot of fronts. And I cannot give it any better than a D. I'll give it a D plus, I guess. But for the most part, this show was not what it should or could have been, in my opinion, Mike.
Yeah, you're right. And I'll tell you what, I'll give it a D for dumb because, I mean, that's the overriding thing. It's dumb writing. I mean, look, I've said it before. You cannot tell me that either Bischoff nor Heyman would write anything worse than this. You cannot tell me that.
They aren't. They're just supervising. I don't think Heyman's written a thing since that one thing with Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley. Todd, what's your rating?
May I go with you guys? A D.
Listen, the wrestlers are not at fault here. I want everybody to understand that. If the wrestlers were screwed up left and right and doing dumb things, I'd say, look, it's the wrestlers' fault. They got good storylines and good things, and they're not following through. They don't have the talent on the mic or in the ring. It's not the case. It's that, how would you like to go to work and say, this week you're doing this, and you're like, okay, I'm getting behind that. I'm supposed to be this way. And next week, oh, yeah, that's out. Now you're just going to do this. Oh, okay. And then you do that, and you're, oh, well, no, we're going back to what you did before. Okay, well, then I don't know. I can't get any momentum. You're a WWE writer. Tell me the following things. What was Daniel Bryan's big announcement? Who the hell was the guy that they found that supposedly attacked Roman Reigns? Why is Shelton Benjamin rolling his eyes back in his head and that amounts to nothing? Where are all these storylines? They're all bullshit. That's what it is. They're all bullshit. Because you tried something and it failed and you didn't have a backup plan. We'll talk to you on Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.